Hi, and hello, football fans. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. We are in San Francisco, California, home of the Golden Gate Bridge, which is inexplicably dark orange or red. I don't understand why they wouldn't paint it gold, but let's not get hung up on that. Welcome to the Dave Damashek football program, presented as always in San Francisco. We're out. Hi, McDonald's. Go get yourself some all-day breakfast. You know what would really hit the spot on Super Sunday, make it a super start to the day? Egg McMuffin. Or you know what? Maybe a halftime treat. However you want, you can get your breakfast when you want and get one of those hash browns with the nice little paper sleeping bag that they put in for you because it's classy. All right, let's get into it here. Super Bowl 50 is nigh. We can't wait. We've had a wonderful time out here. I have gained 17-ish pounds so far. Let's say hello to everybody joining us here today on the DDFP, starting out with our main man seated to my immediate left here on Media Row, all the way from London, England. He serves as our resident Miami Dolphins fan. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I am very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. It's a thrill to be here.
It is a thrill.
It really is a thrill to be here. It's Super Bowl 50.
We had a wonderful dinner with the Culinary Club. Our tour of the United States and beyond continued, and we fit in a great meal a couple of nights ago with One Ike Taylor.
We did. That was tremendous.
And Matt Money Smith, and we drank wine, and then we drank some wine, and then we drank some wine.
Some
and
more
we
wine.
Ate some food around it, and it was all terrific. And but we're about to talk about the Panthers and the Broncos. Let's also say hello, though, to the host of the Around the NFL podcast, an emerging superstar in the world of football media. Here he is, everybody, with that tremendous head of salt and pepper hair. Dan Hanses, what's the poop with you, fella?
I am also excited to be here.
How are you?
Yeah, the Damashek Show, the fans are out for Sheck. The walk from the media center where the NFL media group sits to hear, you just shouts of, oh, Damashek, Damashek.
Sign something for me.
Sign something for
there
me.
There were people.
You're
there,
a hero to me.
We were on Media Row doing a different show the last 3 days, and there was a gaggle that gathered behind us on the set, and no fewer than six people asked after one Handsome Hank Hodgson and where was he so they could get their autograph. One or two people asked after Black Tie. They wanted his autograph
really?
As well. Black Tie
was it Black
out
Tie?
From behind the glass, but now behind a bar here on Media Row. Hard. Black Tie, what's the poop? It's going well for you this week, huh?
Doing well, guys. I have a Jameis Winston exclusive, if you guys care to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were supposed to have him on the show today. We're working on him. We're not able to get him. I did see him at the Madden
Shocking.
Party
Shocking.
Yesterday, Friday night, which Dan was essentially hosting.
Yeah.
I spoke to Jameis and I asked him if it was going to be a Super Bowl 50. His response was like, nah, not until I make it. So there you go.
He won't attend a Super Bowl.
Until he
makes
it.
So he's taking it to a new level. The standard is always you don't touch the conference trophy because it's a jinx, which I disagree with doing that, by the way. Who cares?
In general, do players go to the game? I know they attend
I don't think
the Super
a lot
Bowl
of them
week.
Do.
I don't think he's making a big grand gesture there.
I asked Doug Flutie that yesterday if he was going to the game, and he said, I just can't, and this makes him sound curmudgeonly, but I do believe what he says. He said, if I would go to the Super Bowl, I would just spend 3 hours signing autographs. And he's right.
Fair enough.
That doesn't make him a bad guy. That would be terrible.
Let's spend some time counting all the times that Dave drops names during this show.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
It's not within the context of me doing a show. If I talk to a football player, it's not weird for me. That's not a name drop if I talk to him on a show. Like I talked to Ryan Reynolds. Deadpool. No big whoop.
Woo.
Hey, no big whoop about this, except for one Handsome Hank. My pal, who I see at the Super Bowl every year now, Franz Hüwig, from the 11 Sports podcast, delivered these Belgian chocolates. Franz Hüwig is a Belgian man himself, so he brought some authentic Belgian chocolates for us. They look
they look
like pieces of art.
What a presentation.
But the thing that he said was he gave them to me because he hopes that they will grease the skids to replace him with, replace you, Handsome Hank, with himself. That's his angle. He doesn't want you on the show anymore. He thinks he belongs.
You should give them back then.
Oh, well.
Or you prefer chocolate to me. Is that what it came down to after all these years? What about all the chocolate I gave you to be sitting here?
Let's see how the show works out.
There's a little bit of contentiousness between Dave and Henry.
Apparently,
I like just being a fly on the wall.
We did just see Joe Namath, Broadway Joe, was in here. Yes, many stars running here, there, everywhere. Tony Romo, a delightful fellow we got to talk to as well. One of the surprising guys. It's always interesting. We have talked to Paxton Lynch. He was a cool guy. All right, let's get into it though. Let's start talking about. Also, I'm going to show you one more thing though. I am going to Super Bowl 50.
Hubba hubba.
Is this the part of the show where you raffle off or you there's a trivia competition to win?
I don't
Dave's
know. I feel
ticket.
Like we should do a trivia question for Handsome and Hanzeus, and the loser has to wear
I like that.
Salt and pepper mustache.
Okay. Well, it would go great with you anyway.
It really would go with your salt and pepper.
I can't grow a mustache, so
all right,
I
don't let's play everybody's favorite kind of trivia. Oh, I won a trivia contest on the Around the NFL show very recently.
Stunning.
You did.
I run Chris Wessling's toaster. Yeah, it's now mine. I might just retire.
Are you
You'd never give it back. I might retire and just keep it. Never give it back.
It was the equivalent of like a 3-2 win in football.
Yeah.
But it was a victory.
It was a victory.
It was
That's
a victory
all that counts.
What it was. Yeah.
You get a W. No one cares what the score
was.
Yeah.
Let's play Dave trivia.
Okay.
What's Dave's favorite kind of ice cream?
Pistachio.
Rocky Road.
Neither one of you is close.
Salted caramel.
Let me say something. You're a little closer, Hanson, for one reason.
Mint.
Mint chip.
Dan Hanson, put on the salt and pepper mustache. As we begin, presented by McDonald's, let's talk about who we're loving in front of Super Bowl 50. Handsome Hank, I start with you.
I'll tell you what I'm loving, Dave, is...
Oh, this is horrible.
The idea...
No, you look great.
You look great. It really does.
Does it match?
It looks real.
Go on YouTube, audio listeners, and watch Dan Hanzeus. It's time for him
it
to
It really looks
mustache.
Like his mustache.
Oh, my God.
You look just terrific. You look like Teddy Roosevelt.
It's like my future.
Hey, President Roosevelt, who are you picking in Super Bowl 50? Handsome,
wow.
Go ahead there.
I'll tell you what I'm loving, Dave, is as a fan of the Miami Dolphins, who are nowhere near the Super Bowl and shouldn't be talked about at this time, but...
Agreed.
The Panthers and Broncos in 2010, after the 2010 season, had the first and second picks in the draft. And so what I see this Super Bowl as being is an emblem of hope at Super Bowl 50 is that you can be the worst team in the NFL, literally the worst two teams in the National Football League 4 years ago, are now playing in Super Bowl 50. I think that's pretty cool.
I think that's a fascinating point. And in fact, as we pointed out, collectively divisions seem to really sink. And we think about the NFC West. It wasn't really very long ago that
was
the punchline
division.
They were 7-9, the Seahawks, beast mode and all that. And obviously we know what happened to them. We saw it. Carolina Panthers were 7-9 last year. And if you haven't heard, they're playing on Sunday. So so there's hope for those bum divisions and those bum teams in the NFL. Hanzus, how say you?
Well, what was the question again?
Who you loving, fella?
I was in the middle of my
mustache President Roosevelt.
Application.
It's a little tickly, isn't it?
I'm loving Cam Newton. I can't do this. I'm loving Cam Newton because he has this impregnable, easy confidence that makes me think this team has no way of losing. The Panthers, of course, on Sunday. There's just something about this guy that makes me think that we're looking at a guy that's going to win not just one Super Bowl, but multiples. I cannot see him coming up small on the stage. And this week, just his demeanor, how he's handled the press, the way he's kind of carried himself. I even saw a tweet that the Panthers sent out of him leading his teammates in like a on-field dance routine to 2 Chainz. I mean, these guys are ready to kick ass, let's be honest.
I completely agree, and the only thing, again, that has nothing to do with practicality, the only thing is that everybody is picking them to win the game. And that never works out. It almost never works out.
It doesn't.
In pro football. If everybody goes, that's definitely going to be, it never happens. Though.
It doesn't, but I would always caution against people changing their pick on the Friday of Super Bowl. You spend so long like leading up to the game and, you know, immediately after the conference championship game, everyone has an opinion normally on what's going to happen in the Super Bowl. And then what tends to happen is 11 or 12 days later, you're like, oh, actually, I think the Broncos can win this one. And I've met a couple of people today who said they're thinking of changing their pick. Nothing changed from in those 12 days. It's just that you've spun the wheels on it so many times.
It reminds me of like the 90s. When there were blowouts every year, this is before the first Elway Super Bowl that he won, where the same thing would happen. Like, even by the time, like, there'd be some people like, oh, you know what, the Chargers, they have a chance to give Steve Young some problems just because it's the nature of the week and taking so long to get to the game. And then all of a sudden it'd be a blowout. I don't for as a fan, you don't want to see a blowout, but I feel like you're overthinking it if you're thinking the Broncos are in a good position in this game.
We'll get into the game pick, but I agree with you, Hanson. The only thing that feels to me like could shake Cam is if something seminal happens early, like a weird, you know, like the Peyton Manning snap over his head that started the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Barring something like that or a bad ball out of his hand right out of the gate that gets picked and returned to the house. But outside of that, as we say, in real life terms and human terms, you can say whatever you want about Cam Newton with the misdeeds of his youth. But the fact of the matter is, in football terms, just like Black Tie's new pal, Famous Jameis, amidst all that tumult, he went undefeated and won the national championship and the Heisman Trophy. So it does suggest that he's very difficult to rattle. And this situation is not going to be too big for him. I'm loving San Francisco. It is perhaps, New Orleans is probably my favorite city to go and visit for 2 days. But San Francisco is the best city. It's the most beautiful city.
In the entire country.
I think it's the most beautiful city. I think it's glorious. It's so European and on the water and hilly and the food is delicious, like I say.
Yeah, it's tough to argue. I like the city a lot. I think for a Super Bowl week, I think New Orleans is my number one.
That I agree with. New Orleans should be the host every other year at least.
New Orleans got benched for the blackout. They lost the last vote, I believe, to Minneapolis.
To Minneapolis, yeah.
And that next year it'll be in Houston, and Houston and Minneapolis are cities that have a lot of great people and football fans. But, like, the Super Bowl in San Francisco, this is a city that I can get behind as a Super Bowl city. I agree with you.
Oh, I'm going to gain so much weight in Houston a year
still
from
look
now.
Good. Yeah.
Unless I'll likely have been fired.
Do you think you'll have lost the weight from this week?
Probably. I'll have pared it down around mid-January, and then I'll heap it back on in Houston. But I do want to say, across the Bay here, the Bay Area, Oakland, you know, they have a football team, the Raiders, but the Raiders are talking about Vegas. You hear some noise about Mexico City. Both, to me, would be just dynamite options for the Raiders brand in particular. Imagine if the Oakland Raiders, with the Al Davis, the 70s reputation, and the Bad Boys and all that, if they would wind up playing in Vegas. I think that would be the greatest.
Think about it. I mean, there's been chatter about, you know, maybe they end up in San Diego, and that makes no sense.
No.
San Diego Raiders, I mean, that stands in direct opposition to both the city and the team. Yeah, Mexico City in a certain sense of lawlessness south of the border. I like that. In Vegas, we know about Vegas. I think Mark Davis even dropped the old "what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas" line when they discussed some type of conversation about
him alone,
the possibility.
Him living in Las Vegas is reason enough for it to happen.
I haven't. One of my favorite acts or pastimes during any of these tentpole league events is seeing Mark Davis in the hotel lobby hanging out, and I haven't seen him yet. So
I've seen him a couple of times. He's looking well.
Yeah, great.
It would also be neat because if the visiting team the night before the game at one of those Cirque du Soleil shows or something like that, it'd be fun to go out.
Or Tony Bennett, you know.
Something like that. So that'd I'm rooting for that. I hope Vegas happens. But Mexico City legitimately would be a neat thing, too.
Why do you like that?
Clearly, the NFL is trying to expand into that market like they have successfully done in London, and they're dipping their toe in that Mexico City water. It would be more plausible, it seems to me, right now than it is to put a team in London for 16 games or for 8 games. That travel schedule wouldn't be that disruptive to a visiting team. I think it would be a fascinating move for the NFL.
But also, I think, you know, Denver.
Living there or
right, that's going to be
that
one of the issues.
Of it, I feel like it'd be tough.
I think, you know, Denver's obviously famously high above sea level. I think Mexico City's even higher than that.
Oh, really?
So they'd have an incredible home field advantage as well.
Huh. All right. And, well, and of course, the visiting team would not be able to drink the water. For
that's
real.
Awesome.
They wouldn't be able to drink the water.
That is true.
All right, let's get to it now. Enough talk about this, that, and the other. Let's talk about Super Bowl 50. Very important stuff. We're going to break it down for you, what it means to the two teams if they get to hold that Lombardi Trophy on Sunday night. Very important stuff, starting off with the wizard of all football picking wizards. 18 months of age, wise beyond his years. It's football baby. Is he making his final pick here? I don't know.
We don't know.
It's been a long season for him. Nothing's off the table. We'll see. We'll think about that in the offseason. Football baby's going to do what's best for football baby and his family. But right now, Here is his final pick of the 2015/16 season. Football Baby.
Football Baby. The baby who picks football games.
Behold, the NFL wasteland of would-be champions for the season of 2015. We have but two remaining. Football Baby, Carolina Panthers, Denver Broncos. Choose. Carolina Panthers, Denver Broncos. Who will claim the golden anniversary of America's greatest game? Make your choice. It will not be the Cowboys. They have their share of rings already. The Seahawks have been there recently, but not in February of 2016. Broncos, Panthers, choose. Not the Seahawks.
Bye-bye indeed. See you next year.
Here we go now. Broncos. Panthers. That is close. That is a Texans helmet. That's a Bills helmet. Something tells me you are thinking about a ranch. This bodes well for Denver. You must choose. That is old news. Rex Ryan, see you next year. Bill O'Brien, you too. You have chosen the Carolina Panthers are the Super Bowl 50 champions. Congratulations to all, and to all, a good night.
Football Baby.
Wow, that's tough for the Broncos.
That is tough for the Broncos.
It looked like for a moment there he was pondering the Denver Broncos, and
he teased Elway and Peyton. They were standing. Yeah. Whoa, what's that? That's what
was happy.
A roller
coaster. They won't be happy at all.
At what point during the taping of that bit did you actually worry that it just was never going to happen?
I had faith. He was contemplating. It's been a long season, mentioned there.
Did he pick Team Irvin or Team Rice last week?
Some things are beneath him. Right. Some things are beneath him. Ooh. Reminder, I don't know what's going on with the Pro Bowl. Remember Damashek's idea. Loser Bowl, the two worst teams play. The winner gets the first overall pick in the Springs draft.
Somebody in my Twitter timeline presented that as their own idea, and I didn't call them out or anything, but I thought to myself, only Damashek has come up with that, right? Because it's brilliant. It's either that, you go that route, or the goofy 1990s ESPN skills challenge they used to do.
Which was the best. Nothing goofy.
Kick a field goal between two palm trees into the ocean. Like, just go let them have fun and get it all on tape doing acts of greatness.
Booze included. Yeah, if we're going to do it, let's do it the right way. All right, let's get into it, fellas. We hear what Football Baby thinks is going to happen. Broncos and Panthers, we have chopped it up every which way. So is everybody else who talks about football in the last couple of weeks. How will Super Bowl 50 unfold? Hanzoos, what do you think? First quarter, what's going on in the game? Halftime, what's going on when they get out of there, when Beyonce and Coldplay and so on are singing?
I think, if somehow Denver hangs around for those first 10, half hour of the viewing experience, you feel good that they might be able to hang around, maybe steal the game. But then I'm looking at what's been happening with the Panthers is that the way they're built and the way they've jumped out to these big leads on everyone, I think if you think that the Panthers are going to win this game in a manner that will be, kind of cruising, it's going to be the same thing where they jump out to a 14-point lead before they get to the second round of commercials. That's kind of how I see this. And maybe Denver recovering a little bit. I like the son of bum, maybe calming things down and hoping maybe Peyton gets him back in the game, but I see the game being a game where Carolina jumps out ahead early by multiple touchdowns.
You know what? Before we continue to discuss it, I think first things first, we should do the red challenge flag picks because you're going to tip your hand
right,
if we go too much
true.
With what we think is going to happen. Let's do it!
Red challenge flag picks!
Why doesn't Hanzoos sing?
What's wrong with you?
Thing?
Too big for that.
Is that a thing? Are you going to do it? Ready? Let's do it again.
Do it.
But we all sing. Ready?
All
one,
sing.
Two, three. Black tie, you too. A 1, 2, 3, do it!
Rip challenge sweatpicks!
All right, let's do it now.
I like it.
And Zeus, you are our visitor, so there's only one game to pick. You get to do it. What are you shaking your head about, Black Tie?
That was a poor job.
By who?
Do better.
Dan, the singing.
You know what's a poor job?
What
not
mean?
Giving our people the red
Where
challenge.
Where are the red challenges?
Where are the red flags?
Instead, it's the it's Jeff Fish's
oh, here,
mustache.
We'll
pants.
Wait for you, Black Tie.
There
Take
we go.
Your time.
Got it. Got it.
This is uncomfortable, guys, that I have to ask, but what are the rules of the game?
It is uncomfortable. You make your pick.
Yes.
Just state who you think the winner is. If Handsome wants to challenge you, he
okay.
will throw, the,
throw
red
the
challenge
red challenge
flag,
flag
at
on
you.
You.
All right.
All right. Dan Hanzoos.
All right.
Carolina Panthers. Denver Broncos. Choose.
Like being
I should
child.
Just sit around like the football yeah. baby for a while. I think this is a one-sided game. I think the Carolina Panthers, like I said, are going to jump out to an early lead. And I think by the time we're in the fourth quarter, this game will be well decided. 34-13 final Panthers, Cam Newton the MVP, and we start the discussion of where this team ranks all time.
You didn't really explain the rules to him, did you?
Well, I thought I did, but apparently he's
What did
a
I
slow
do wrong?
Runner.
It's fine, don't worry.
That's fine.
We'll get it you
Go
for
ahead.
Next year we'll get you.
We'll fix it in post. Go ahead.
Should I throw the flag?
No, you don't. You, well, I would I okay. I would be throwing the flag.
Come on,
but I'm
throw
not going,
it, Handsome.
No,
be a
I'm
man
not,
and throw
I'm not
it
picking
at.
The Broncos just for your entertainment, Dave. I will throw the red challenge flag somewhere over there because I don't need it. I'm picking the Panthers. Of course you're picking the Panthers. I think the one difference from Dan is I think the way that they've gone through this week, I could possibly see the Panthers come out a little bit, not as loose as I think we think they've been, because I think they wanted to play this game on Tuesday. And I think that it seems like from the press conferences we've seen, Cam's getting a little bit kind of like he was at the beginning of his career in press conferences. I think he's a bit tight. I think they may come out and be a little bit tight for the first 5-10 minutes of the game, and then I think that's when they put the... Put
you say Carolina will be tight?
A little bit, to start with, yeah. Oh, you're throwing the challenge flag on that.
They're not going to be tight. What have you seen in any of their playoff games to suggest they're going to come out and be tight?
Exactly, but the two
weeks... Is that
weeks,
right that
the
I threw
weeks,
the flag there?
Yeah, that's good. That's worked.
Okay.
The 2 weeks that have happened in between, I think, are the things that are going to make them tight. I think they were ready to play this game in the middle of this week.
I'm going to go with the Panthers as well, so a clean sweep out here pending Black Tie's pick. But I want to hear you got, Black Tie. He's going to take Denver. He's going to take the Broncos.
He's going to take the Broncos.
For the Peyton Manning Bizarro season for a little while.
We don't care
yeah.
who you're rooting
yeah.
for. Who do you think is going to win?
Well, I think the Panthers are going to win. It'll be fun to see Cam win, but I'm also rooting for my hot takes.
There's
something unsightly about a man saying that he's rooting for his hot takes.
Yeah.
I don't know. It feels weird.
It's a new dish at McDonald's. You can get it on the all-day breakfast. I'm going to take the Panthers, and one thing that we talk about a great deal is the human element and the psychology of the professional athlete versus schnooks like me and that confidence, and it's hard to get a read on. And we also always talk about Hanzoos, and everybody says, oh, why do you hate Peyton Manning? I don't hate Peyton Manning, but I do think as a human being, once it starts to get in your head, wow, I failed, and people now are pointing at it, Clayton Kershaw, you know, there are a number of athletes that stand out, that Tony Romo. It does take something. It is an extra layer to get over, an extra hump to get over. Conversely, the thing I love is, the underdog story, a guy coming out of, oh, that guy, whoever knew Timmy Smith of D.C. when they won that Super Bowl many moons ago. That story is fine. It's charming. I like better when you are supposed to do it. When you are born to be the greatest and you go out on the biggest stage and you do it, I find that the greatest because Peyton Manning knows it to a degree, and in fact, he's gotten to be more deferential in the last few weeks since he got the gig back from Osweiler. Cam Newton is at the height of his powers. This could be his coronation. This could start a 5 to 10 year run for him as being in the top 2 or 3 quarterbacks in the league here. If he can do it, if he can put the cherry on top of 2015, he's going to be the MVP the night before. Can he then add in a Lombardi trophy? I say yes.
Here's a theory, because I like what you're saying about Peyton being a little tight, and that I won't deny in some of these past games, you know, with the big stage.
I don't think he chokes, though. I always say
right, not a choke, but just maybe being aware of what that is. The idea now that he's such a limited player and his mindset shifting in a sense that I know I'm not the most talented guy, and he's fighting that war, that maybe all that stuff, other stuff, gets, you know, canceled out a little bit, and somehow plays better with lesser physical skills.
I absolutely buy that.
That's the case for the Denver Broncos.
He's not walking out onto the field thinking on Sunday. He's not walking out there like, I better
have
the game.
It's not me. It doesn't have to be him. Exactly.
But I also think that Demaryius Thomas is going to have to be the difference maker. He, to me, is the X factor for the Broncos offense, at least. He has to make plays because they're not really built outside of Luke Kuechly joining in on plays. I mean, that they're going to be dependent on the speed of their linebackers to negate Demaryius Thomas catching a bubble screen or a little quick pass and housing it. We've seen Demaryius Thomas do that. Short of that happening, I just don't know what the Broncos are going to do to move the ball.
The Panthers defense has consistently been an excellent tackling team as well, and I think you have to be at this to get this far in the season. But they don't often let people just run the whole way down the field like that.
It sounds like we all think Cam is the MVP if the Panthers win. Am I right about that?
I think so.
Who is the MVP if the Broncos somehow
I think if the Broncos win, it's a guy that none of us would come up with now. I think if the Broncos win, it's going to be because Owen Daniels has an incredible game out of nowhere, or someone that you wouldn't imagine is going to have a huge game has a huge game.
Here's the thing, though. If the Broncos win and it's a storybook Peyton ending,
that's right.
All he has to do is not have a terrible game. Like, if Owen Daniels catches two touchdown passes, that means Peyton threw two.
He needs to throw two touchdowns. Right.
Throw for around 200 yards. Don't throw three picks.
But the story will be because the defense shut down.
That's why I brought this question up, was it for exactly that point.
They vote with their hearts.
I think Aqib Talib defensively, it could be anybody, but he's the most likely candidate, I would think. They need the house one. They need a pick
and
six. Something weird has to happen for them to be in the game. They're not just going to – if the turnovers are even and there aren't defensive touchdowns or special teams touchdowns, I just don't see how Denver will be in this game. Remember now, Carolina has whipped good teams to get here. It got sideways and it got weird towards the end there. They destroyed the Arizona Cardinals. And if you think about it, I think the Cardinals are similar to the Broncos in many respects. Obviously, Carson Palmer can push it more, but then again, he throws a bad pick. So I could see that happening to Peyton here, too.
I overheard walking by Larry Fitzgerald Sr.'s father is a journalist in the Minneapolis area. He's always at the Super Bowl. And I happened to walk by a conversation where one guy was like, I still can't believe what happened to the Cardinals. And then Larry was like, yeah, it still doesn't make any sense to me. And that's the other thing with the Panthers. Like, I'm going to pick against the team. The Arizona Cardinals were a tremendous team this year, and the Panthers broke their will and made them look like the 1996 Jets. I mean, that is a telling aspect when you look at what the Panthers are capable of. And it could be bad news for the
psychological
Broncos.
Breakdown or fluky tip pass early that gets returned. Those are the puncher's chances that I think the Broncos have.
Outside of that,
the matchup is all for the Panthers in my book. It is fun to think about how bad would Peyton's stats have to be in victory for him not to get the MVP. Like 98 yards? Like, give it to him anyway. Yes, give it to him.
He would have to have, because Namath didn't throw a touchdown and got a Super Bowl MVP. So he would basically just have to have a clean game he didn't throw a touchdown.
But I still think there will be, there'd have to be a pick six and those type of things on the other side. We're 2 years removed from Malcolm Smith being the Super Bowl MVP. No one was picking that. So I think
You know what? I picked that.
Did you?
No.
You're understating the Peyton Manning aspect of it.
I am. You're right. But
what
I can't
about
see
this, though? Hanzu's touched on
you don't
this.
Care about it.
They're not going to win. No.
Everybody is consumed by what this would mean to Peyton. And I do think, obviously, if he wins this, you cannot have the conversation best Super Bowl era QB and not have him in your top three if he has two rings and every meaningful individual record. If he loses, I think he slides a little bit more for the last season and a half that he's had, even though he got to the Super Bowl. What about, though, like Hansu said, if this team goes 15-1, the Panthers, and they go through Seattle and Arizona and then go through the number one seed Denver Broncos, where does this team rank all time in the Super Bowl era, at least? I put a little list together, but, I mean, we'd have to consider this one of the very best single seasons ever, right?
Well, how many 18-1 teams have there been?
There was
the Patriots without the ring.
Right, but they don't count. They didn't win the ring, so they're not. The 89 Niners are arguably the best. Well, everything is arguable, but the
Chicago Bears, the Chicago Bears went 18 lost one game and then they went the whole way.
Steelers of 78 went 14-2 and then beat the Dallas Cowboys and the good Houston Oilers team, so they're in that conversation. Maybe one of those early 90s teams, but
I don't know if you heard, but the Miami Dolphins, the 72 Dolphins,
had a perfect season. We don't need to hear it,
They didn't lose a game. They didn't have that one.
Go sip on some Prosecco.
I forgot about
Morris.
It. Yeah,
I will.
The champagne cork hit me, the Mercury Morris open, hit me in the temple and erased my memory of that.
Here's the weird thing about the Panthers season. They weren't a dominant, even when they started, 6-7-0, they weren't dominating teams. They were just getting the job done. But then if you look, I would guesstimate from about December 1 on, maybe right around Thanksgiving, they just started destroying everyone. So it took them a little longer to hit their stride, whereas a team like, let's say the 85 Bears were killing everyone all
the
season.
Way through the season.
So I don't know if you take anything away from them that they took a little longer to be truly dominant, but now they are when it counts the most.
I got news for you. I watched the 85 Bears. You're younger than I am, Hanzus, and probably don't remember that team that vividly. This team is better. This team is more balanced. This team is all Cam Newton in some sense, but on the other hand, that Bears offense was not comparable to this. This Carolina offense is better. They're right. The point is, if they win this one, we will quickly ramp up where does this team rank all time, and it will be in the top five.
Which is funny, too, because no one was really talking about that 2 weeks ago, but now I think it snuck up on everybody a little bit. Wait, if they kick butt again this week, that means that they lost one game all season and just were giant slayers all year.
And what a great trivia question that will be. Who did it come to? Matty Ice.
Oof.
Last thing before we move on here, we're going to bring up a couple old friends.
Dan, jumping on Dan's point right there, was 538, the Statsbase website, had an article that said the Panthers were the worst team to ever start 11-0. To back up Dan's point, that they didn't start dominating until later on.
Please don't feed the believes in us thing. I can't take it anymore. I don't want to hear it anymore. I'm sick about it.
You can feed my points and make me look smarter. That's good.
That's true. That's true enough.
Thanks,
last thing is for you, Hanzus. I mentioned where I think Peyton would rank, and I know it's not he's a supporting player, but the fact is that the way people regard John Elway versus Dan Marino has a lot to do with the fact that Elway tacked a couple rings on at the end of his career while playing with Terrell Davis. What would this do for Peyton if he does win this?
I wouldn't put him past Brady because this obviously, as we've talked about, hasn't been a classic Peyton Manning season. It'll always be nicer on the resume than actually like looking at it like him as a player. Because we know he got a little lucky this year. That said, there have been a lot of years where he was carrying teams a little deeper than they should have been. I would keep him. He's in the top five for me, probably the top three, but I don't think he would leapfrog Montana or Brady. So I think he's kind of locked in at 3 to 5 either way, to be honest with you.
I agree with that. I think 3 is probably where he'd land for me, but then, I don't know.
Yeah, there's no way you would ever, if
he
really
would not
make
have
a list,
him 3.
You put Terry Bradshaw ahead of him.
I would not.
Markinson.
That's ridiculous. How dare you? I would not.
Dan Marino.
Terry Bradshaw is not even the best Steelers quarterback of all time. That's right.
Neil O'Donnell makes it
Neil
out there for both of you guys.
Oh, shame on you. How dare you? All right, Dan Hanzus. Don't listen to his Around the NFL podcast. Because he's too sassy for his own good sometimes. also doing great work, all of his, what do you call it? Your
View from the 50, and I'm pretty proud of that title.
It's a terrific blog.
View from the 50. It has a vanity URL, which makes me happy.
NFL.com/view from the 50.
Director of programming.
It's a reference to Drake's new
album.
Very
clever. All right. Dan Hanzus, great stuff around the NFL, 7 days a week, keeping you hip on what's going down, and make sure you check out the Thrice Weekly podcast. All right, we're going to be joined by an old pal of Handsome from the UK who covers pro football, get some good stories about Handsome. But right now, we like to consider how NFL matchups might go if they were played by their literal representatives. In this case, what would happen if an actual Panther fought an actual Bronco? Take a look.
Let's get ready to match up with Matt.
In one corner, standing 9 feet on his haunches, sporting hooves like brass knuckles and an obsession with carrots, it's a Bronco! In the other corner, weighing in at 200 pounds of ferocity untamed, knives for nails and teeth that could make steel cry, it's a Panther! The Panther strikes first, lunging at the Bronco. But the Bronco is no amateur in the art of backyard brawling, using his muscular physique to deflect the Panther's advance. Stunned, the Panther bounds up a nearby tree. Agitated by the scaredy cat's cowardice, the Bronco kicks the trunk with all his might, sending the Panther flying to the ground on his tuchus. Looks like not all cats land on their feet. But now it appears the Panther is surrendering. The Bronco is defenseless against the Panther's cuteness and drops to all fours to console the furry feline. But it's a trick! The Panther claws the Bronco in the backside, and the Bronco's bucking like a madman. The Panther sees his opening, pounces on the Bronco's back. It's a rodeo with this cool cat trying to tame the wild beast. And does! Now he rides the broken pony off into the sunset. This one goes to the Panther.
Do 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 da 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 down ba da down ba da boom bam bam Dave.
Boy, another sign pointing in favor of the Carolina Panthers. Back here on Media Row right now with a couple of people. Well, one guy who knows Handsome from way back when they worked together in the London office, Neil Reynolds and Jeff Reinbold from the Inside the Huddle podcast on Sky Sports. Welcome, fellas. Welcome.
Appreciate it, Dave. Thank you for having us. First, I just want to ask, what have you done to my friend? Because he used to be called Henry.
Yes.
It was a good old English name. What's he now, Hank?
Well, we like, you know, we consider ourselves men of the people. You know, this show is for the people, by the people. And Henry, Hodgson was a little too stuffy.
Too much.
They couldn't relate to it. They couldn't, the audience, the Czech Republic was like, who's Henry Hodgson? So we changed it to Hank, and he is undeniably handsome.
That's true.
You're too kind, Dave. You're too kind.
So welcome to you know, San Francisco. I don't know why I'm welcoming you like I'm the ambassador of the U.S.
We appreciate it, don't we, Jeff?
What's it like coming over here? What's the best thing about the U.S. versus the U.K.?
The best thing about the U.S. Crikey, that is, wow. That's a tough one.
Look how few. There bigger must be
sandwiches.
Something.
Bigger sandwiches.
I like that.
I think it's just the fact that it's the game. It's this circus, this whole craziness. It's the only place I've ever seen it. It's here.
Surely they put on a show like this for, I don't know what, but for the Premier League or something?
No, they don't. They
really not the same. It's the week-long buildup. There's no place on earth where it's like this.
Legitimately, though, I've never been to one of the NFL games played in the U.K., but yeah. All I hear about is that the passion matches, at minimum, matches what you see in an NFL stadium on any given Sunday.
Yeah, I think that's fair, and I think the NFL then, they bring the NFL to London. We don't do this kind of thing around British sporting events so much, but when the NFL comes to town for the International Series games, they do roll out. Take over Regent Street in the heart of London with 500,000 people. They go to Trafalgar Square and pack that out with 50,000 fans. So they have tailgate parties on the day of the game. So they do try and make it. They try and bring what you have here to the UK, and the fans love it.
You know, and if you've never been to London, Trafalgar Square, if you think, well, what does that mean to me? Think about Times Square. That you go and shut down Times Square with NFL fans. In London, England. It's beyond. All of us, you know, kind of came up through NFL Europe in the 90s, and, you know, we couldn't get 15,000 people to White Hart Lane to watch the London Monarchs against the Amsterdam Admirals, but today the NFL is thriving in England.
There was the Rhine.
That was my team.
One of my teams. Is that right?
Flyer.
There was, I see, now I'm putting myself on the spot and I can't.
Barcelona Dragons.
Okay, right. What, was there one in Italy?
No.
There was no Italian. Why wouldn't there be an Italy team?
I don't know. There should have been. The Scottish Claymores.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Barcelona Dragons.
Berlin Thunder.
Why was there a Rhine Fire of all the cities in
Because Dusseldorf is actually there's a million people in the metropolitan Dusseldorf area, but the Rhine region, it took a regional name, much like, you know, the Carolina Panthers.
Wait a second, there wasn't a Paris team either, was there?
No,
there wasn't. Paris team.
We missed a trick, really, I think.
Very strange. Did you guys, though, so you were in on the ground floor of the rise of American football over in Europe, do you guys feel like people who liked, you know, pavement back when they when Slanted and Enchanted came out, and now like by the time they get on a major label, you're like, look at the Johnny Come Lately. So you know, did you guys find each other and gravitate to each other and be like, we're among the few who understand the greatness of this?
I think what it makes you do is appreciate scenes you're seeing like that with the fans turning up at Wembley Stadium, because myself and Henry have been stood in NFL Europe Stadium, so well, game's going to kick off in 3 minutes, and there's like 3,000 people here. So we've seen the other side of it, and it's completely grown, and so you appreciate it.
And you know, the other side of it is just how you can experience the game and watch the games. I can remember, and I think I've talked about it on the podcast before, literally leaning out of my bedroom window with a radio antenna. Yeah. And are trying to get an armed forces broadcast in the UK, and now you can sit down, you can watch any game you want to on, you know, by a game.
That's
it's incredible.
Those sort of childhood events when you have to go the extra mile,
right?
And I imagine that you don't have to do that. Any 21st century child anywhere in the world probably, or most places at least. But I remember that same sort of thing, listening when my teams were on the West Coast in the U.S. and with the transistor radio and trying to keep it down so my parents didn't hear it. Forge a loyalty to these teams.
You know, Dave, it's interesting. I was coaching in the league, and these guys were young interns in the NFL UK office. They wanted to be broadcasters. They wanted to be journalists. And so I watched them come up. But they both played as amateur players in the amateur game. On fields that sometimes weren't lined.
Yeah.
Not enough equipment, not enough.
Myself and Henry used to work in the same office in London. Every Friday afternoon, they had this huge storeroom at the back of the office.
Fast storeroom.
Like a warehouse, and it had that metal rack in between it. Uh-huh. So every Friday afternoon, it was our tradition. We would go into the storeroom. I was always the receiver. Henry was, of course, always the quarterback.
Throwing it
through the rack in. We'd do that for like half an hour, and then we'd sit down and open up old packs of trading cards. They had NFL trading cards.
There was endless supply.
And then the whole thing ended when they'd shut down the Scottish Claymores, and they had a mascot called Shuggy.
Which was a giant bear kind of creature.
So I'm running around with Shuggy's head on, seeing if I can catch. The head of finance for NFL UK comes in and says, we're closing that team down. If you damage that product, we're in trouble legally. And that was the end of our games in room 15. It was fantastic.
It was a good time.
And you skipped, I assume you just left out for time's sake, the part where you go to the pub and got six or eight games.
Well, that was before.
Right, then you went back.
That was lunch. Yeah.
Then the head.
Yeah. And then we'd go back and do that. But Henry got to throw passes to Steve Smith, to Isaac Bruce, didn't you, Henry?
We were
filming various things for NFL UK. Steve Smith actually damned the entire British gene pool after he saw Henry throw. He said, there are no athletes in this country. And he's a pretty good receiver, so.
Yeah. That's post-playing football, so he
that's
knew
right.
with Handsome. He could assert that, having seen what Handsome
It went pretty well up until a point, and then he decided that he turned against me.
Steve let you down, I think.
I think it was a little bit of that.
Jeff, you say you were a coach, and you coached one Emmanuel Sanders at SMU, right?
Back when I was at SMU, Emmanuel, we actually had four guys that made it in the NFL off that team. Darius Johnson played for the Falcons. Aldrick Robinson played for the Redskins. Cole Beasley, who's now with the Cowboys, was a slot back for us. But Emmanuel was the bell cow of that bunch. He was truly the best of the bunch and an amazing kid. We had a great opportunity to spend some time with him the other day at the media day. It was awesome.
Yeah, he started to emerge right at the tail end of his time in Pittsburgh. Yeah. But it really blew up with Peyton Manning. And it was always a little confusing because I consider Roethlisberger to be the equal of Manning. But undeniable that 18 made Emmanuel Sanders a better NFL player.
Yeah, and I think Emmanuel said that yesterday when we talked to him. And interestingly, though, Peyton said, conversely, it took about three or four throws and about a half an hour workout with Emmanuel for him to realize that guy could be special for me.
Well, all right, I want to talk about this. Tell me the 10 to 27 most embarrassing Handsome Hank stories you have.
Well, that was the one where Steve Smith damned him was pretty bad. But
well, yeah, when he basically required, he felt compelled to put a pox on the entire nation.
Did you see him just shoot me a glance then?
And Neil, I want to remind you.
That's a dirty trick, Handsome. Don't show your Union Jack socks.
So, Henry,
I think it's disrespectful, in fact, to wear the Union Jack on your feet.
So let me tell you, Henry grew up playing in something called the Oxford Park League. This is too sad to even, I can't even believe I'm telling you, it's so sad. Henry played one-man football in the park. So he would throw passes up into the air, catch them by himself.
That's not quite true.
Then he would trade himself, mid-season trade, dramatic trade.
To the other team.
Trade himself to the other team.
So I could drive the ball back down the other way.
And the worst thing is, he documented all of this in a book. And he once brought the book in to show us in the office. The book documenting the Oxford Park League, which, by the way, he was the MVP of every year.
For both teams.
For both teams.
Offensive and defensive.
And this is when you were in your early 20s?
Right.
Yes.
He's not even embarrassed about it.
I'm
look
not at
all. He's proud of it.
But you've changed the story a little bit. But yeah, I like it anyway.
Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Do you know that Handsome, when he was 5 years old, was once running in a field in the UK and got butted by a ram?
I did
butt.
Not know that.
That's true. That's a true story as well.
I did not know that.
He's had a colorful life.
He liked to make predictions, bold predictions. And once he lost a prediction, and he was supposed to sleep in a tent outside the League Hotel at the World Bowl, the NFL Europe Championship game, and he was going to do it. He brought the tent and everything, and then the commissioner showed up, right?
The commissioner showed up, and I decided it wouldn't be a good idea for me
to
be in a tent outside the hotel. I predicted that, I think it was the Berlin Thunder, weren't going to lose another game that season.
Right.
And I think they sat everyone in week 10, the final game.
It was your only non-Miami Dolphins.
This is great fun to sit here. We can trade embarrassing Handsome Hank stories.
That's great. Is
that Handsome Hank once?
Type 45,
you know,
black
tie. Spent a summer of his life castrating calves, as he calls them.
That's a true story.
I think I do vaguely remember that one. He's one of the poshest men in Britain. He's one of
is that
the,
right?
Yeah, it's like the Queen, a couple of princes, and then I think Henry.
So in the US he will stay Handsome Hank, but now when he goes back to the UK, Posh Henry.
Oh,
Posh Hodson. Welcome home, Posh Hodson. Go throw a pass to yourself. Go throw a pass to yourself. All right, listen, I could do this all day. I really would love to hear more stories.
Not sure it's good TV, but it's good fun for us, right?
Give me a pick, though.
I cannot see. And I'm a big Wade guy, but Wade's got 2 weeks to prepare. I think they'll play as well as they can play on defense.
Agree with that.
But I just think that if Carolina gets 10 or 14 points ahead, Denver's just not built to play from behind. And they're going to have to run the ball. Anderson and Hillman are going to have big games. And that's tough to do against Carolina.
You're not going to do that against that front seven.
So I'm going to take Carolina.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Carolina, when they get on a roll and they don't take their foot off the gas, they could be historically good. They look like one of those teams for the ages. I believe in the Denver defense as well. I can't get past 7-3 and outs for that anemic Denver offense in the AFC Championship game. Like Jeff says.
And against a defense that's half the quality of what they'll see with Carolina.
Yeah, so I'm going Carolina by a couple of touchdowns.
All right, well, listen,
wait a second. I got to ask you a question because my son is standing right out there, and he said to ask Dave about your call once upon a time as Carolina had the worst uniforms in the National Football League. Did you disrespect? Because he's a huge Carolina fan, I'm telling you.
Absolutely not. This is one of the weirdest mischaracterizations of something. It really is. This one makes me crazy. There's a little... I mean, listen, every fan base has some fringy weirdos. Your son not included.
He's one of those weirdos.
We did a thing at the NFL where we assessed the best uniforms in the NFL, the alternate uniforms, the throwbacks, and the standard getups. The Panthers, when they wear when they used to wear those shiny satin black pants with the black jerseys,
awful.
I thought they were very ugly. I didn't say they were the worst. I just said I didn't like them, and their standard ones that they're going to wear on Sunday, the black jersey with the silver pants, is much better. A couple of their fans flooded, I don't know about computers, but somehow forced the thing to vote a million times.
There's one of them right there.
They forced it to vote a million times, so it was corrupted. So we said, all right, I'm not awarding that.
He hung you in effigy. He burnt you. I'm telling you.
People were very cross.
They were angry about it.
It was the weirdest thing I've ever had. I don't know. Why do you hate our team? I mean, this year, as I'm touting Cam Newton in late September, early October, this is the player that everybody is sleeping on. This is the best player in the NFL. I'm still getting cross tweets from Carolina. You disrespected our uniforms.
There you go.
Try and enjoy the Super Bowl, everybody. Great times. This, like
thank
I said,
you for having this. Thank
Neil
you for giving
Reynolds.
Me this platform.
I know. Yeah, thank you, Dave.
Yes, handsome. Was this a fun trip?
It was wonderful. Yeah, I love seeing these guys, and I just hope that Black Tie can edit this part of the show out.
No, indeed. Jeff Reinbold, great stuff, fellas. It's Inside the Huddle, Sky Sports, the podcast, and beyond. And if you get a Super Bowl 50 program, you can read some of Neil's work. Page 150 is the place to go for that. Thanks to Dan Hanzus. Thanks to Black Tie. Mark Brady back there for making this all happen for us from Radio Row once again this year. Great times. I'm going to go gain a few more pounds before the game. So let's really do it. Let's really focus hard on that. Game time is nearly here. Enjoy Super Bowl 50, everybody. We'll talk to you after it. Back from Los Angeles. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.
What's up, everybody? Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks from Move the Sticks. Bucky, for those that haven't listened to our show, tell them what it's about.
Two former NFL scouts, about 20 years of experience looking at the game from a different perspective, really digging into the personnel evaluations and also some of the team matchups.
Also going to be focusing on the draft as it gets closer. And you can check out our show on NFL.com/podcast. You can find it on iTunes as well as YouTube on the NFL channel. Just pump in Move the Sticks.